There are a lot of things that I feel today, as you know, and I've been around some of you who have been grieving at different times over these years a lot, and for loved ones, and I've watched you grieve, and yet these last 2 weeks, I realized that for grief, all of us react a little bit different and feel a little bit different. I haven't really grieved personally for my family for about 30 years since my mom died, so I've had a lot of emotions and feelings in the last 2 weeks. And first of all, I just want to say to the family again, I want to say how much I appreciate you and thank you for your love and care and how much I felt that in so many ways, and I'm just so grateful for that. And secondly, I'd like to say today, along with those feelings that come and go, I also have felt such a great sense of God's Spirit and presence and peace, and I'm so thankful for that, that we grieve, but we don't grieve like those that have no hope. That scripture has seemed so real to me, and I'm thankful for that. I've had so much to be thankful for, and here we are in November. And I thought, well, that's probably fitting that my dad would pass in November because he knows that this is always my favorite time of the year. And we've talked about that so many times. Dad loved the fall. He loved the trees. Well, he just loved being outside anyway, but he loved the fall too. And I think we shared in common our love for the Thanksgiving season and how precious it has been for our family. So when I think about that, there's so many little things, of course, that come to my mind and my heart. We've been doing a lot of remembering and telling stories and looking at so many pictures. And every one of those pictures, I just feel such a blessing and thankful for that. It just kind of, from a different perspective as a pastor, it just makes me think a little bit different than some of you and what you have gone through and some are going through and what you have dealt with and continue to at times. I just am reminded of how precious God's comfort is and how faithful he is. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm also reminded of many scriptures about Thanksgiving. And I thought today I want to talk about being thankful and talk about some scriptures and some stories about Thanksgiving. I'm reminded of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a short passage that's always meant a lot to me. And I know probably for many of you when the Apostle Paul writes there, those words that seem so important to our faith and our choice of faith, our choice of how we approach life and deal with the things that are a part of life circumstances. He said, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How faith can help us to sort through the things of life, and how grateful I am for that truth and that call and that reminder how important it is how we deal with life circumstances. God's word reminds us of how important a spirit of thanksgiving is in the journey of every Christian. Every one of you that are here today who desire to follow Jesus and be a Christian, how important your choice and your heart and your attitude and our perspective is, our worldview is about being thankful and seeing the goodness of God and sensing the goodness of God in our lives. Excuse me. How key it is to a peaceful heart and a content heart in every circumstance. We see here in this passage to me some incredible thoughts about being thankful, how important it is in all circumstances. We also see in life and in the church and in history and in the Bible so many examples of a thankful heart in all of life's circumstances. Many times when there was great things going on, and I think of the celebration of the building of the temple and the great prayers of thanksgiving and rejoicing that we read in 2 Chronicles. I read one of those passages earlier when we opened the service. And there are a lot of places in the Bible that give us a great example of a thankful heart in easy circumstances. And they're there, and they're a part of life. And maybe it's easiest to be thankful then, I'm not sure. But the Bible also gives us some incredible pictures and stories of times when people were thankful when things were not as easy and circumstances were not as good. A couple of weeks ago here on Sunday morning, right before I left to go to Ohio, we focused on the persecuted church. And I wish I had more time to tell more of the incredible stories that I read during that time and preparing for that, the incredible testimonies of people who went through hardships. And yet down deep within them was a deep faith that gave them strength and gave them help in the hardest times of their lives. They were able to maintain and are. And there's examples today around the world of people who go through all kinds of circumstances and they live out that passage to pray continually, give praise to God, and hold on to that spirit of thanksgiving. And then there's Stephen in the early church, who I also talked about 2 weeks ago, and how he maintained a sweet spirit. How this man, under the circumstances, could maintain a faithful and a what seemed like a joyful spirit in the midst of persecution, and eventually his martyrdom. And at the end, what comes out of him but a spirit of forgiveness for the people that stone him to death. And how incredible that story is in a number of ways, but that's one of them. In the Old Testament, I think of the example of Joseph. Joseph is one of my favorite Bible characters, and I love his example for a bunch of reasons. Not because Joseph was necessarily perfect, but because Joseph lived out a deep faith in the good times and the hard times of life. And his story is an incredible example to me. I mean, here's this young man, this boy who, 17 years old, was thrown by his brothers into a well and hated by his brothers, and then sold into slavery, taken to a land he knew little about, and falsely accused, thrown into prison. And what comes out of Joseph's heart and mouth and life but faith in God? I'm sure it was a journey. He didn't always feel good, and we don't always feel good when we go through hard times. But Joseph's example to me is someone who chose to maintain that strong faith in God at times maybe when it felt like he was letting loose of the good things and the things that he would have wanted. And from that prison cell, God lifted him to the place of the second in command in Egypt to Pharaoh. And even in that transition, he keeps his faith. You know, sometimes we think it's harder to keep your faith when you're going down, but I'm not sure. Sometimes it's probably harder to keep your faith when things are looking up and going better. But Joseph gives us that story and that example of both. And I think that's a neat picture. And then, again, when it came time to face his brothers, and he had to have all kinds of feelings. And boy, we all have all kinds of feelings. He chose forgiveness and reconciliation. I think that's an incredible story. I think there's a lot of stories like that in the Bible that remind us of how we can hold on to the right spirit and a thankful heart in the midst of every circumstance. God can help us to be thankful. It's not just in the Bible, but I want to say too, not just stories in the Bible, not just Christians around the world, but I want to say how right around us, there's a lot of faith and trust in God in all kinds of life circumstances. In every church, there are people who also make choices and decisions about what they're going to hold on to and who they are in the midst of the hardest of circumstances. And some of you that are here today, all of us go through a journey of good and bad, and some more than others, some deeper than others. But I know that many of you have held strong to your faith in tough times. And I want to say to you that God sees that, and we're thankful for that. God's able to help us to be patient. God helps us to persevere. God helps us to keep the right perspective. And and hold eternal things in view, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for the body of Christ. Thankful for many of you that I've seen over the years that have held on in hard times. And if you feel like maybe you're not there and you're slipping down the rope, I just want to tell you, God can give you strength to hold on and to see him and to find his help. Wherever you got to catch that rope, whether there's a knot there and you can hold on to, or you somehow got to say, God, help me to hold tight until I can get back up on the shelf or whatever it is. I want to say to you today, don't give up. Whoever you are, don't give up. Know that God knows where you're at on the journey. He knows the hard days and the good days, and he is with us. I thank God for this church, and I'm thankful for the faithfulness and the goodness of God's people. And just want to tell you to keep it up and pray that God would help you. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter the circumstances, to be able to say, God, I trust you. I believe in you. I'm holding on to you. I want to talk about one more story this morning. We're going to receive communion in a few minutes, but another story of an amazing faith in challenging times. It's a story in the book of Acts, chapter 16. There were two men, Paul and Silas. They were arrested for preaching the gospel. They were early examples of the persecuted church. They were stripped and beaten, and the scripture says severely flogged. They were chained to the floor in a prison, yet they held on to a thankful heart, and their story is incredible. Read with me if you want to, chapter 16, verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What an incredible story of influence. Incredible story of these two men who somehow had something that was so deep that they were able to hold on to that in what might have been physically seemed like far worse circumstances than most of us could ever or will ever encounter. Paul and Silas are yet another example of a thankful spirit in a hard place. I think, how would have they handled it without an incredibly deep faith? If their faith would have been shallow, or their faith would have been based on circumstances, they wouldn't have had the impact that their lives had. I think just like in a mighty storm, it's the roots of our faith that hold us in the hardest places. Somebody mentioned to me this morning, they don't know how people can get through unless they have a faith and they understand that God is there and cares about them. And that's how I feel about life sometimes. And how, just like a great tree that we know has the root system underneath, and that's what holds that tree when the storms of life come. And all of us need that root system of what we believe and what we hold on to and where we choose to go in our hearts and our minds when we face difficult circumstances. Of Paul and Silas, it's evident that their faith was for all circumstances because they had this deep, deep faith on the inside. And it was a faith that gave them strength. It was roots that somehow held them, that in that moment, in that day, their reaction was to call out in praise to God. What a beautiful picture. Paul and Silas understood that their treasure was in heaven. they somehow got it. They understood whatever it was that Jesus said in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount about storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And Paul and Silas understood that. They knew that they were living in two worlds. They were living in this world and the good and the bad and the call of Jesus on their lives and the call to take the gospel to the Gentiles and all that stuff. But they also understood that there was another kingdom and there was another world that was even more important, and that is that connection, who they were spiritually. And they were connected to that. And they believed and trusted God in that part of who they were. They had an eternal perspective. And how beautiful it was as they lived out their trust in God. They were able to have a thankful heart. They were able to hold on to their focus. Their focus on keeping the things of God foremost in their minds. I know when circumstances come, either good or bad, like I said, going down, I don't know which might be harder sometimes for our faith, when we're going down or when we're coming up real high, and how hard it is sometimes in both places to keep our faith in the right place and keep our hearts in the right place. But here Paul and Silas were able to do that. They were able to keep that focus. Their attitude was incredible. Attitude is a word that I don't think it's directly in the Bible, but there's so many things that express what attitude is in the scriptures. And I felt for a long time that our choice of attitude is a fine line. It can take us one way or the other. In almost every circumstance of our lives, our attitude can either take us toward God or away from God. An attitude, I've always believed, is a choice. Feelings are not a choice in my thinking and my thoughts. We can't help what we feel, but boy, we can help. We can choose the attitude, and we can choose to lean toward God and lean toward his truth and hear what his word says and hold on to it. And a choice of attitude that leans toward God then helps us and draws us to a peace and a contentment that God gives. Paul and Silas seemed to know where that line was, and they were able to lean into God instead of leaning into the thinking of people in the world that had no respect for who God is or where he is. Paul and Silas leaned into God, and their attitude was amazing to me. They were good stewards of their circumstances. I had originally planned this 5-week series on stewardship and kind of changed the direction for today as things have developed in the last 2 weeks. But I thought about that word again, stewardship, and how our attitude is also something that's important in our stewardship. How we choose to lean into God or not about the circumstances in our lives. How important it is that we understand that our attitude is something also that God gives us and calls us to have a certain spirit about, and how important that is. Think about the impact of these men, their incredible circle of influence. I mean, you think about, first of all, the impact on the other prisoners. Imagine what it was like for the other prisoners to watch and hear, maybe, Paul and Silas being beaten in the next part of the dungeon, crying out in pain, probably. Then they're brought in, drug in, and the stocks are put on them, and they're thrown on the floor, and they're locked in those. And I don't know if they had any compassion for them or not, or they just, you know, I don't know what their attitude was and heart. But as they watched, as Paul and Silas rolled over from the pain and the bleeding and the suffering and, excuse me, and how they began to praise God. Wow, wouldn't that impact you? The incredible perspective. What about the guard, you know, who ready to take the sword and kill himself? And Paul says, no, we didn't run when the doors opened. We're here. And we know the impact it had on him. He came and fell down before him. And he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Boy, they saw in Paul and Silas a faith and a trust in God that was so contagious that, boy, this guy and his whole household was saved. He took them home and washed their wounds And his whole family, it says, were baptized. What an incredible influence Paul and Silas have had. I've talked about how all of us have a circle of influence, hopefully not to be beaten in a prison there. But in every other area of life, you have an influence and you have potential for that. And you think of the pagans that were watching from the outside, maybe the magistrates and those Romans, in this case, in the city of Philippi, and how they're watching this and thinking, what's up with these guys? This is how we're treating them? And they're praising their God and having this spirit? That's incredible. And then you think of the impact on the early church. Think of when other believers, maybe weaker in their faith, hear this story and they think, well, it can be done. We can have that faith in the hardest of times. And I would imagine, too, how their story and their circle of influence, how it affected the heart of God, how God saw that. God allowed that to be preserved here. Circle of influence. Your heart can make such a difference. Well, we come now this morning to another place of thanksgiving. Another way of saying thank you to God. Another way of saying, God, I ask you to help me with my life. We've come to the place of the Thanksgiving table. Some people, there are a lot of names for Thanksgiving, but one of them is the table of Thanksgiving. And this morning I'm thinking about how important it is when we receive the sacred elements that we are thankful. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Boy, God gives us great gifts, and one of them is the opportunity to know the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that every one of us can know in our hearts that God loves us and sent his son to die for our sins, and we can come to communion saying, God, I'm a sinner. I'm falling short, but I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to help me. I ask you to take my life and make it what you want to be. Communion is an opportunity to do that. Communion is an opportunity to express faith. Communion is an opportunity to have a heart that believes and leans into God. I know that term is used in different ways at different times, but it kind of struck me today. For me, at least, it connected to me when I think about that. In all of life circumstances, you can lean into God or you can lean away from him. And if you lean toward him, he's reaching out to you. And communion is an opportunity, once again, to hear God's heart and to say, God, I choose you. Communion is a time for confession. It's a time to say to God, God, if there's known sin in your life, to confess it and say, God, I ask you to forgive me for that sin. Forgive me for sin. Forgive me for anything in my heart and my attitude that's not right. And God, help me to be the circle of influence that you want me to be. We practice in our church what we call open communion. That means that you don't need to be a member of this church to receive communion, but you need to be in the place that you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sins and come into your heart. We don't come for communion as perfect people. We don't come as people who have it all together. We come to communion saying, God, I need you. I choose you. I want you. And I worship you. Today, I want to invite you to come for communion. I'd like to invite our communion servers to come at this time. If you're not able to come to the front, we'll bring it to you. But for those that are going to serve, would you come and take your place here this morning?